How's it going, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of the Vietes Rundown. I'm your host, Manny Vietes. So I know it's been about a month since I've done a podcast. I had went to Coachella. I had to do a lot of things at the end of the semester to ensure I was on the dean's list and get close to straight A's. So I've been doing that for the last month or so, and I've also been prepping for my LSAT for law school. So I've had a lot on my plate, but I'm getting around to do an episode right now of a mid-season, kind of almost the end of the season playoff podcast with a couple things that I've seen throughout the playoffs that I like, some things that I don't like at all. I'm also going to go over my list of dirty players, or my doghouse, as I like to call it. If you're one of my friends, you know I have this select group of players that I just cannot stand. There might be some elite players, but I just can't stand them on the court. And they might do some great things off the court, but I just can't deal with them. Sometimes while they play. And then I'm also going to talk about the draft lottery. The lottery is on Tuesday, May 16th. So let's hope that if you're a Laker fan, you get a top three pick, and if you're a Kings fan, let's fall in anywhere between 5, 6, or 7. Then I'm also going to go over the mock draft. I'm just going to do a little 1 through 5 mock draft. I'm not going to do a whole 30 teams. I'm just going to do my top five and who I think should go first, second, third, fourth, and ultimately fifth. All right, so I'm just going to dive right into it. So these playoffs have been, you know, kind of one-sided in both conferences. You know, the Cavs going, you know, just sweeping through the first two series, going 8-0. And the same thing happening in the Western Conference. Cavs and Warriors both sweeping 8-0. I believe it's the first time for that to ever happen. You know, it was kind of an all-out dominance. You know, there was really no competition. Maybe in that first series for the Cavs when I think they played the Pacers, they pushed them in game 3 and 4. But besides that, you know, there hasn't really been no competition. The Warriors were blowing out teams by 10, 12, 14, 15. It wasn't really not even close on that side either. I would say the Cavs games were a little bit more competitive, but some games they just ultimately blew them out. LeBron's playing out of his mind with that stretch of 30-point games. You know, they've definitely looked like the two best teams. They've looked like the two best teams for the last 3 years now, and it's sad to see, but you know, the NBA is going to have to shape around those two teams, because no other teams in the NBA are going to even have a shot at getting to the Eastern Conference Finals or Western Conference Finals and have a chance to even beat one of those teams. So look for this next couple of years coming up that, you know, all these players this offseason, there's a lot of players that have opted out. There's a lot of players that are free agents. Expect for a lot of those type of guys to want to come together and create another super team, because you know, if you're in the East, you know, you have to go. If you're in the East, you have to go face LeBron to go to the finals. If you're in the West, you're going to have to face Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. It's almost not fair. So, you know, you as a player, you want to still keep true to your values. As you know, I want to do this on my own. I want to will a team on my own. But in this day and age, it's impossible. And while you're in your prime, if you're say you're Paul George, who you know is probably going to be traded. You know, you don't want to ask a team to trade you to another team that it's not going to get you anywhere. So all these people that are Laker fans that are like, oh yeah, well, you know, Paul George should just go to LA. Okay, if he goes to the Lakers, what is he going to, you know, where are you going to be at, dude? Where are you going to be at? You know, you and the Pacers made the playoffs this year. You were the seventh seed. You know, it's not the best seeding. But you know you go to the Lakers, and what are you doing? You know, what are you achieving? You're literally in the middle of your prime. You know, his ceiling has already been reached. I feel like there's no more ceiling on Paul George. So you know, if you're just like a player like him, you need to go to a team. You need to team up with somebody, and you need to try to win it. You need to try to win a championship. You know, if I were the Celtics, I would definitely try a little bit harder to trade away some of those picks so they can at least get that edge. And at least get that one guy, maybe that Jimmy Butler or Paul George, to take him over the edge. So I guarantee you we're going to see some of these teams try to make some trades to try to even be at the level of the Warriors and the Cavs, because this playoffs has been a clear representation of, you know, of how dominant these two teams are. So unfortunately, you know, I wanted John Wall and the Wizards to win today in Game 7. This was definitely the best series of the playoffs by far, the Celtics and Wizards series. You saw a lot of, you know, gritty, hard-nosed basketball. You saw some fights, which was great. That Kelly Oubre-Yelenic fight, that was pretty nice. And then you guys see some premier guys like John Wall. He hasn't really, You know, he's been a great player throughout his NBA career and great meaning he probably will end up like one of the top five point guards ever in the NBA. I'm not even just saying that. That's really where his numbers are right now. He's definitely grown. Each year he's grown. He developed a jump shot after first coming in the league and not having a jump shot at all. He's definitely probably been the most improved player in that category as point guards. And Bradley Beal, you know, he hasn't been named an all-star yet, but in these next years coming, I guarantee you probably next year he's going to be in that consideration, if not already solidified as an all-star player. Then you have Isaiah Thomas. This is his first chance to prove himself, getting to an Eastern Conference final and actually going to do something on his own and leading a team. I wish the Kings would have kept him, but that didn't turn out that way. But this series was great. You had some premier players, not high caliber A guys like Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron. But this was a series of some up and coming teams. The Wizards are definitely going to be back. If they don't get somebody else, they probably will get somebody this offseason. The Celtics, their roster is guaranteed. It's about to change within the next couple of years and in obviously the next couple of months when they have the draft, because they probably will have the number one pick. So this was a great series. The Celtics get to go on to the next to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't see this being competitive at all. The only thing is the Celtics do have home court advantage because they were the first seed, but I feel like that doesn't mean anything in LeBron's eyes. He plays better when he's on the road in the playoffs anyways. And as long as Cleveland snags one of those games in Boston, the home court advantage automatically flips. So this is going to be, you know, I say that the Cavs sweep them. It's going to be a 4-0 sweep again, and the Cavs make it to the finals with not having lost a game. The Cavs make it to the finals without having lost a game. So that's going to be it for the Eastern Conference. It's going to be a good matchup between Kyrie and Isaiah, but Kyrie's going to be able to get by Isaiah pretty easy. But it's going to be like the. It's going to be who's going to be able to match up with LeBron, obviously. Who's going to be able to match out on the shooters. I feel like the guys for Cleveland are more diverse, I would say, because you got Tristan Thompson. You have Channing Frye, who's playing out of his mind. Kevin Love. Those guys can step out there and shoot threes. But you do have the guys on the Celtics who can too, like Kelly Olynyk, Al Horford a little bit. But the guys on the Cavs are more active. They're rolling around the rim. They're going away from the rim. So it's going to be a pretty good series. But the Cavs are going to come out with a sweep. I'm almost for certain. So then we move on to the Western Conference. Warriors swept through it, 8-0. As I said, they won by just some crazy numbers. Some guys stepping up at some great opportune times. And then you had that series before the Spurs and the Rockets. All right, look, I wanted James Harden, to do well. I also wanted Russell Westbrook to win MVP, and I don't think that by watching this series, James Harden is going to win MVP. It's kind of been solidified. I think that Russell Westbrook by far has to win it now after watching what the hell just happened. You can't do that in a game six if you're James Harden. Only going two for 11, scoring 10 points, only having 3 points in the first half, I believe. That was just uncalled for. You are an MVP player. You are in that race. You're one or two right now, and that might have just solidified you going back down to two. Players like great players have to show up in those situations. I'm sorry, you got paid. You're getting paid to lead that team. You get everything you want. You got the coach you want. You're playing the style you want. You have everything in your corner, and you have to shoot over 11 shots. You just have to. And if you watch that game, guys, you saw those turnovers that he had. There were some blatant turnovers where it was just crazy. You've never seen that throughout the whole season. Him just going up, just jumping in the air, getting ready to take a jump shot, but then. Weaseling out of it and throwing the ball into the corner just right out of bounds. Already had a couple ones where he would drive up to the basket. He could have laid it up like he does normally, but he would just dish it out to the side and it would be a muffled pass and the ball would go out of bounds. It was just some things that there were some things that he was doing that were not James Harden-esque, and some things that are very questionable. I thought for a second that he might have been wanting to throw the game because this is, it was kind of a, it was pretty crazy. I've never seen that from James Harden. So that series was good. Unfortunately, Kawhi Leonard just messed up his ankle in that series and his leg, unfortunately, so that he was sitting out game six. And then he comes back into the, you know, he comes back and plays game one against the Warriors, has a fantastic first half. He scores, I think he had 18 and 8 in the first half. And then he comes in the third quarter. The Spurs are up by 23 points. And then Zaza Pachulia goes right underneath Kawhi Leonard. And what do you know? Tweaked ankle. Kawhi Leonard's sitting on the ground, severely in pain, gets up, shoots a free throw, goes to the locker room, and now he cannot play for game two. So this now changes the whole dynamic of this Warriors and Spurs series. The Warriors ended up coming back. The Warriors ended up scoring the Spurs were up by 23 points when Kawhi went out. Then the Warriors ended up coming back, and it was the point differential was just by far, like, just because of Kawhi coming out of the game. It happened right when he came out of the game. The Warriors ended up winning the game. It was something that never happened in Pop's career, because any time that Pop's been up in a game over 25 points, they've won. I think the stat's like 311 to 1 now, because that one game yesterday. But you know, this gets me on my topic of dirty players. This, you know, also, you know, some people don't think Zaza Pachulia did that dirty, and I'm one of those people that believe he did. If you look at the play blatantly, you know, when you grow up playing basketball, playing AAU and stuff, they don't teach you how to close out like that. You go and close out on your guy, and you stay put, and you contest their shot. They don't teach you how to go in underneath them and, you know, make them fall, because they don't want you to foul the guy, because they don't want that basket to go in and that guy goes to the line, you know. And especially if you're a big guy, you know, it's hard for him to go and contest the basket enough just by himself. But to running out to the 3-point line in the in the corner, and then put your legs underneath a guy to just go undercut him, that's not cool with me at all. And you know, I feel like people are kind of overlooking most of the things that happened, you know, throughout the game as well. There was a couple plays there where Zaza Pachulia was setting his screen on Patty Mills, and right before he would go and set his screen, he would just stick a stiff arm out and throw Patty Mills just 4 feet away from Steph, and Steph would go and drain the three. You know, those are the little things. You know, they go unseen by NBA referees, but, you know, players, the media, everyone, they see that every single day, game in, game out. The other players know who the dirty players are as well. So, you know, it ticks people off. It ticked Coach Popovich off today. He had a press conference to see, you know, they wanted to ask about how Kawhi Leonard was doing and whatnot. But, you know, Pop was definitely not on, you know, Zaza Pachulia's side. He said he's a dirty player because we've seen this in the past from him, and these are some things that the NBA needs to address. You know, a couple of years ago, the NBA put into effect the rules about that, where you know, you couldn't go and undercut a guy. Yet you have to leave him, if a guy jumps up for a jump shot, you got to leave him room to come down safely in the spot where he jumped from. You know, that's just simple rules. You just have to a defenseless guy in the air, you got to protect them. It's just like in football, when you have a receiver, you know, going over the middle of the field and someone throws a pass, you know, and the guy's midair, you know, you can't just go and just lay the guy out just because he's fair game. You know, if this guy has no idea what he's doing in midair and cannot do anything with his body, that should be illegal. It should be illegal at all levels. Yeah, he got called for the foul. Yeah, he fouled Kawhi Leonard, but you know, it was more than that. It was a flagrant foul. It was that stuff that should be addressed. You see things all the time in the NBA that are so wussbaggy, and you know that the refs get timid. Like, oh, should I call it? Oh, should I call it? Yes, you should call it. You know, but you call some bull flop going down the middle of the court. You know, that's blatant to see that it's not that bad. And then you don't call the call that's, you know, could potentially injure and hurt a guy's career forever. I just don't understand that. And it sucks to see a guy like Kawhi go down like that, because Kawhi is one of the best in the league. He's obviously in the MVP race as well. But you know, you have to protect our stars in this league, and especially every single player. So I agree with Coach Popovich. He set it out straight. You guys need to go watch that interview today. He kind of just railed into, you know, some NBA rules and railed into Zaza Pachulia and said he has a history of this. Popovich was right. The Spurs did have a chance to win this series. They played great this year. They played great in the playoffs. They have one of the best players in the NBA. They had a great system working. Even when Tony Parker went out, they still had a great system working. But then, yeah, you take Kawhi Leonard out of that equation, and your chances definitely go down. So I feel for them. Hopefully they can somehow, regroup around it. Maybe Kawhi will be able to come back game 3 or 4, but hopefully we'll just have to see what happens tomorrow. So that's going to be an interesting series going forward. So I don't want to talk about the playoffs anymore because I've been watching too much basketball as of late, and that kind of just ticked me off last night with the whole Kawhi Leonard thing. So I'm gonna go into my category now of dirty NBA players. So I'm gonna put Zaza Pachulia in there as well. But this is called my doghouse. Starting off, these are the type of players that are could be the nitty gritty guys. They could be great athletes, but they take the rules that the NBA has given out there and they tweak them in a way where they can, manipulate refs. They can, get under players' skins. They can cause coaches nightmares. They're hated by other players on the court and some of them off the court as well. But these are the guys that if they're on your team, you love them. These are the guys that are, they're off your team, you hate them because you don't want them to guard you. You don't want them in your face. You don't want these type of guys causing you problems. So first off, we got Draymond Green. Obviously, he has to be number one on the list. He is by far he plays the nice little teeter totter. One time he could be great, the other time he could be the worst player on the court. He's a guy that's in your face. He probably fouls you every single time you go for a layup, and then complains every single time he goes up for a layup and doesn't get a call, or he complains when he does get a call. This guy just complains whenever. He has the whole Warriors team doing it, which is great because he's the only one on the Warriors team that has a voice. To be honest with everybody, he's the only one that shows it. Draymond Green's definitely number one on that dirty player list. He's in the doghouse for sure. He's a great player. Wouldn't want him guarding me. Would want him on my team because he's a leader. But besides that, I do not want him. I do not want him. I wouldn't want him on my team. But for the most part, a lot of players would. Chris Paul is definitely number two on this list. He's a great player. He's been a great player his whole career. Probably one of the best point guards to ever play. But he has manipulated the rules and has manipulated refs into literally have to wait for him. They literally wait for a reaction from Chris Paul, whether that's while he's dribbling the ball or whatever. And they blow their whistles around his fundamentals and around the way he transforms his game. You see him go dribbling up the court full speed and then just stops on a dime, just so the guy behind him just gets called for the foul. Like, dude, come on, man. You just need to play the game of basketball. Just go out there and play. Yes, he's the best to ever do it, but he fits in that category of guys that gives you headaches. And watching it from a fan standpoint, if you watch this game, you're just like, come on, dude. He's always complaining to the refs, always grabbing guys' jerseys, has that, just swag about him that is nonchalant. And yeah, he's best friends with LeBron and Dwayne Wade and them, but they don't do that stuff. They're not on this list. Definitely not. So Chris Paul, you're my second victim. Third, drum roll please, it's Patrick Beverley. No shocker right there. If Draymond Green and Chris Paul were to have a baby, it would be named Patrick Beverley. This guy, Patrick Beverley, has been involved with so many different types of instances where he's been, where he's been the root of someone's injury or he's caused someone to miss a lengthy period of time. We go back to 2 years ago in the playoffs where he injured Russell Westbrook. It was blatant that he did it intentionally, maybe. Russell Westbrook, had to undergo surgery just because he had a torn meniscus, and then you just see it throughout the season too. He's always complaining, always in someone's face, always just that guy that won't give up, which is great. It's a great trait to have, but it definitely puts you in this list of dirty players, doghouse players. So Patrick Beverley, you're three. Kelly Olynyk, I'm sorry, man, but you have to go in this. Exactly what happened with Kelly Oubre the other day was definitely your fault. It was a screen that you stuck your butt out too far on. Shouldn't have done that. And then, what do you think is going to happen when you level a guy to the ground? They're going to come right after your head, right? So that's not the first time that something like that's happened. He's done that stuff in the past. It's uncalled for. Players like that should be advised and know how to play basketball. But we see this every night. It's not just them, but it's the guys who it gets, you know, it happens over and over and over again. And, you know, these guys just have to wake up and realize that, hey, I should be playing basketball like this. But hey, he killed it tonight. He's the reason why the Celtics won game seven. So, okay, you gotta give it to him, but sorry, but he's number four on my list, and I moved down to number five. It's his teammate, Marcus Smart. So Marcus Smart's another one of those guys. He's been one of those guys since he was in college at Oklahoma State, but now he's just glorified. You know, it's either the flops, or it's either the in-your-face defense, or it's the, you know, when a coach calls a timeout, all these players, you know, they don't want to give up their path of walking. You know, a player will be walking straight, and he's not going to move left or move right. He's going to keep on going just so he can piss the player off that's walking directly diagonal in front of him. And you see that every single time. You see that almost every single game. There's always that one guy that's just too stubborn just like to walk the other way. They have to just butt heads or something, and that's what this guy does almost every single time. So, you know, that's rounding out my fifth. I'm only going to do five dirty players because I don't want to keep on going with this. I feel like you guys get the gist. And you guys can probably create another five of dirty players on your own and just get back to me. Let me know what you think about mine. Guarantee you there's definitely five more out there that are probably just as bad that I just don't really want to glorify right now. So guys, get back to me on that. Get back to me on Twitter. Let's see what happens with that. And I'm going to move on now to the three-point foul rules. So I don't know if you guys have seen, but during this playoffs, they've called so many fouls on threes, it's insane. And in the NBA this year, it's been the most ever, obviously, because now you got players like James Harden and all these guys using the rules to their advantage. And in the playoffs, it's been glorified to a certain extent where it's crazy. It's saw firsthand in almost every single series. You saw it in that LA and the Clippers and Jazz series. Man, the Clippers got one of those. I think they got one of those calls every 4 or 5 minutes in the game, which is insane. It was either J.J. Redick or Chris Paul or Jamal Crawford just going up there and getting fouled, which was mostly Jamal Crawford because he always gets fouled on threes. But it was in that series, and then they started calling it the other way for the Jazz as well. And then in that Rockets and Spurs series, that was a big thing as well. There, you had Lou Williams in there. Kawhi was even getting fouled some of the times. Eric Gordon, you know, these guys are now trained on how to, you know, kick their leg out, get a foul, anticipate contact on three. The guys playing great defense on you. You shoot a three that's probably not a three that you would take, but you shoot it just because you know you're going to get the foul call. And that's something that I think the NBA should take a look at this offseason. It's great that the NBA calls fouls for players shooting threes. Like in that case I told you about, how a player should never be, you know, underneath the player and not give him space to land back on the ground. I think that's uncalled for. But when you start calling these three foul calls on players who are shooting these shots that are just not formal, they're not routine shots, they're just shots that just to get the refs thinking, you know, just to make them make that, you know, that split instinct decision to call that foul. You know, that's what these players are looking for. They're trying to get to the line a cheap three times. That's what James Harden does, Lou Williams does. There's a lot of players in the NBA that do this and take this rule to their advantage, which is great for them, but as a fan, and as a player around the NBA, it's kind of hard to watch because these players are looking for that. And now you got to coach kids to play to that level, which that you should never want to play to that level. That's not, you know, it's a part of the game, don't get me wrong. And that's a part of the game that we have to now teach. And that's, you know, the three balls obviously become the biggest thing in basketball now. It's won the Warriors, almost now like 200 or 300 games. So, you know, we definitely got to take that into account. But besides anything, this 3-point rule should definitely be looked at. There definitely should be a list of rules that, you know, require some explanations on when you can get fouled or what you have to be doing. If it has to be a clean motion or has to be like a, you know, an actual organic motion rather than you just jerking up just to get the foul. The NBA should definitely make a rule list for this. So definitely look for this coming in the off season, as the NBA always takes a look at some of the things that have been addressed during the season, and they always try to make a new list just basically to apply to all the things that they missed and want things to be different in the future. So just look for this. It's going to be definitely something that they look at. I've heard it around the league for the last couple of months now. So So yeah, that's what I want to talk about with that. I wanted now to move on to the draft lottery and to some things coming out tomorrow, which is going to be the balls are going to be getting selected. Hopefully, you know, for all my Lakers fans out there, you guys get a top three pick. If you guys don't get a top three pick, you guys miss out on two picks for the upcoming years in the first round, and you guys are basically going to be done unless you guys have some crazy off seasons where you guys get some superstar type of players, which I can definitely see that being possible. But you guys need these. You guys need these picks if you guys want to do anything involving the rebuilding process. So first, I wanted to address the Laker people, and I wanted to talk about the Celtics or the Suns, because if the Celtics get the first pick of the draft, it's going to be either Markelle Fultz or I think it's going to be De'Aaron Fox. I want to take Markelle Fultz and De'Aaron Fox over Lonzo Ball any day. Lonzo Ball, I could do a whole episode about, but I'm not going to talk about him just yet. So I want the Celtics to get number one. I want them to be able to get the number one pick and trade it. If I was a part of the Celtics, I would definitely consider trading this pick for Jimmy Butler or someone that can provide me some offense, because I guarantee you in this next series against the Cavaliers, they're about to get swept, they're about to be exposed, and they're going to need some scoring and some defense. So that would be a great, you know, great decision for them if they were to trade that pick away. The Suns definitely need a shooting guard or another point guard. It's going to be, you know, Devin Booker up top. And if they get De'Aaron Fox, that will be a nasty backcourt for the near future. You're going to see some crazy, crazy games coming up. If you have two of these young guys on your team, you guys are going to be set for a while. So I definitely see the Suns having a very, very bright future if they were to get one or two in the draft. And as far as the next teams coming up, it's going to be crucial to see where the Kings pick. I hope that the Kings are able to get at least at lowest, because they have two picks in the first top 10 projected. So I hope that they're able to get at least a sixth or seventh pick. That would be great for us. You know, we could pick up a small forward or a power forward or a point guard, because we need one. Which we'll probably pick either Frank Nicotina or Dennis Smith Jr. from NC State. Hopefully the Kings get an early pick so we can actually, you know, start getting some momentum and getting the ball rolling here, because we do need some of these caliber players. I don't want to fall out of the top 10 with those. So then moving on to the Knicks definitely need a scorer, because you don't know where Porzingis is going to go. I feel like Melo is going to go, and you guys need somebody that's going to go in there and get you buckets right away, which I think is going to be it's probably going to be either like Jason Tatum or Dennis Smith, depending on where you guys pick. That's just going to be, you know, opportune for you guys. And moving on from the Knicks, I'm going to go to the Timberwolves, which is my team right here. I think we need a power forward. We need definitely a solidified guy down there to, you know, a power forward or a shooting guard, but there's not too many great shooting guards coming up. A shooting guard that we could look at would be Malik Monk. That would be great if the Timberwolves were to get somewhere in the later top 10. If a power forward is available, maybe we could take Jason Tatum or Jonathan Isaac from Florida State. That would be a great pick. I actually have a piece about them on ESPN right now. You guys can go look it up on their draft page. It's a Jason Smith versus Jonathan Isaac. So you guys can see where I lean on that. So then I want to move on to the Sixers. The Sixers, this is the most important draft for them, because this can solidify them for the next 4 or 5 years. If they could get a free agent this offseason, that would be amazing. But they need another player that can score as well. They're gonna have Ben Simmons back. They might get some players in the offseason, and they're gonna have Joel Embiid coming back. So I can see them picking up, you know, if De'Aaron Fox is on the board, that'd be great. Josh Jackson, that would be awesome as well. They'll have some scoring on the wing, which is that's what you need in the NBA now. So if you have a combination of Josh Jackson, for instance, and Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, it's going to be definitely a team to look out for in the future. So, you know, that's all I got for right now with the draft lottery. I'll talk about my top five mock draft in a minute, but, you know, tomorrow literally solidifies, you know, where these teams stand with these ball droppings and see where their lottery goes. You know, if it definitely dictates teams' futures, it definitely gets the ball rolling as far as teams wanting to decide what they're going to do with their current rosters, because on draft day, obviously, it's one of the biggest days for trades. So a lot of players get traded. A lot of things get shifted based on the draft positions. Players get moved instantly. It's not like the NFL where they got six rounds or, you know, whatever to deal with. You know, here or in baseball they got, you know, I don't even know how many rounds, but it's too many to count. In basketball, there's only two rounds. There's a first and second round. Players need to get picked. You know, there's, you know, sometimes teams don't even have a draft pick in the drafts. You know, teams want to be able to get, you know, this will decide, you know, this is where championships are made, and it could start right now, and it could start with some of these teams that have been losing for years. So tomorrow's a big day for some of these teams in the NBA. So definitely tune into that. It's going to be tomorrow night on ESPN. So definitely go check that out. So now to my mock draft. I'm going to tell you my top five. A lot of people are going to be mad at me about this, but I really don't care. Lonzo Ball definitely is not going to be in my, you know, one or two discussion. I feel like Markelle Fultz is the most complete player in this draft. I feel like he has the most talent right now, where he can go to a team and probably score like 16 points a game. I mean, he does it on both ends. Can shoot the ball, can go to the basket. He's very, very, very crafty. Can get by his player. He's 6'4", probably going to be 6'5". 190 pounds, so he has room to grow. He's only 19 years old, so I feel like he goes first. And then second, I have De'Aaron Fox over Lonzo Ball. I've said this numerous times. De'Aaron Fox is a better player than Lonzo Ball. He's more crafty. He can get to the rim. He can shoot the three ball, but Lonzo is too slow. I feel like Lonzo's slow. He plays with a slow pace. De'Aaron Fox is a slasher. He's more NBA ready than Lonzo Ball is. Maybe in the near future, Lonzo will get to that point, but I don't see that happening right now. So third, I would have Lonzo. I have Lonzo there at a third. So if the Lakers pick third and Lonzo's at third, you know, I feel like that's going to be their team. LA's going to want to take him. He's going to be their poster boy for LA for years. So I'm okay with that. I just don't want him going first or second. I feel like both of those teams do not need him. And so fourth, I have Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is probably, you know, I've watched him play a lot this year at Duke. He's definitely the most diverse wing player. He can dribble the ball like a point guard, can spot up and shoot threes. He's definitely a guy that can, you know, get the ball rolling on offense, and he can push the ball up the floor too. He doesn't have to wait for a point guard or anything. And he can play in the post too. He can shoot free throws as well, so he's not a one-dimensional player. He can play all, you know, he can play a little point forward. He can play a little wing. Play some power forward. Obviously, he's a 6'8", 205 pounds. So, I definitely think that he'll be a good asset at the fourth spot. So, and then we got on the fifth spot. I got Josh Jackson. So maybe not a lot of people think that Josh Jackson should go high, but you know, he was on the mock draft for basically throughout the whole season. He was neither number one or number two, but now he's dropping a little bit because now the NBA is wanting to get some point guards. Now these teams are evaluating these point guards, and they think that they could be the point guards of the future. So he's dropped down a little bit. He's definitely the best wing scorer and diverse wing scorer that there is in this draft. He's, you know, 6'8", 205 pounds, can shoot the ball pretty well, can get to the basket. He's a high flyer. He can play defense. So he can work on if he were to get drafted by the Sixers, for instance, he would be a great asset for that team. There's teams that he can fit in with really, really well right away. So I think he'll definitely be the first wing player to get selected in the first round. So look out for Josh Jackson getting selected. And if I were to throw in a sixth one in there, I would just say look out for Jonathan Isaac from Florida State. This guy's the real deal. He's not a traditional 6'10 power forward. This guy can actually dribble the ball and create offense for himself, unlike some of the big guys in the NBA right now. So that's it. That's my top five mock draft with an extra sixth guy in there. So, you know, on this episode, I wanted to just touch base, go back on what's been going on for the last couple of weeks in the NBA. Some things that I've seen that I just don't like, quite frankly, with some of these players and that 3-point foul rule. That's definitely something that the NBA is going to have to look at. So thanks for listening, guys. I'm going to do another podcast probably this week just to talk about how this Warriors series is going. And on Wednesday, I'll probably do it on Wednesday. So we can talk about the Celtics and Cavs game one. So thanks for tuning in, guys. I appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great beginning of your summer. If you guys are listening, if you guys are in school, if you guys aren't in school, hope you guys have a great, you know, summer doing whatever you guys do, either work, and have a great vacation wherever you guys go. So I'll contact you guys when I have another episode out for you. So
Thanks for listening. Hope you guys have a great rest of your night. All right. Peace.